Hey, isn't it awesome being in church today? I just feel like this is the place to be on Christmas Eve. This is the place to be, and it's just a joy to be here with you. If you're new here, my name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor here, and my wife Kendall is here, and we've got three kids sitting in the front. I love that when we show up, we are family here. My son is sitting between Bernine and Austin. Neither of those are my wife or myself, but he just wanted to go and sit with them. And I just love that as we come together as family, that's what we are. Our kids see people that they know. We see people that we haven't seen in a while. This is reunion time. This is time to come together. And for some of you, maybe Christmas time is not a time where you feel like you have a lot of family around, or you've been in transition, or your family's been in transition, or you'd call it a lot worse than transition. I don't know, but we just want you to know that you're welcome here, and we care for you. Today, I'm going to speak a little message about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and I just believe that two things can happen today for you. One is that Prince of Peace can enter your heart no matter where you're at. Whether you're having a crazy Christmas and it's just you feel like you've got so many things even on your agenda for later today and it's just busy, and maybe your heart is not settled, maybe your kids aren't with you right now, maybe your marriage is not in the place where you wish it was, whatever it might be, I just want to encourage you, the Prince of Peace wants to meet with you. But then the other thing that Jesus did for us is he left us the church. When he left us the Holy Spirit, and people filled with the Holy Spirit started building the church. And this is the church, and it's family. And so this Christmas, I just hope that you feel like, one, the Prince of Peace can settle your heart, and two, you've got family to be with today. And so welcome here. Welcome to Northgate. Welcome to family. We're glad you made it. We've been doing a series that you just saw there. And the series has been called "He Will Be Called." The phrase comes from Isaiah 9:6, and we've talked about that a number of times. But it comes from this time when this prophet is speaking to a people called Israel, and Israel is about to get exiled from the land of promise that God has given them. And even though things are looking not good for them, the prophet speaks and says, but something is going to bring hope. At some point, good things are going to happen. At some point, you're going to recognize that God is still with you. And in fact, he will send someone who will, the government will be on his shoulders. He'll send a Messiah, a Savior, one who will take care of you, one who will bring hope to you, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Was anyone here to hear Pastor Allen preach on the Everlasting Father last week? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to have him? I'm so glad we've got a team around here at Northgate. So glad to have Pastor Allen who can jump up and preach. Didn't Pastor Joel do an awesome job in transition today? Isn't that awesome? Yes. We've got a great team here. We're so thankful to have many staff, interns, volunteers, and guests who make up this church. So great to be part of it. So this week is the last of this series, Prince of Peace. I don't know what you think of when you think of the Prince of Peace. It's likely, though, that something comes to mind that needs to be resolved in your life. If the Prince of Peace is going to show up, then something needs to be fixed. Something needs to be changed. Something needs to be resolved. I would have peace once this thing was solved. I would have peace once this thing was wrapped up. Once this thing is taken care of, then I will have peace. So if the Prince of Peace could just come and deal with this thing, I'll have peace. If the Prince of Peace could come and resolve this situation, then I will have peace. We all assume that peace has something to do with what needs to be resolved in our life, what needs to be fixed or solved in our life. The other day, my My wife and I got to go away for a couple days last week. We went to Victoria and visited some friends and some family. And we came back from that vacation. I don't know, we always say when you go away on vacation with kids, you're not going to rest, you're just going to build memories. It's not rest time. Like, you know, usually you're crammed into a smaller space than you're used to. You're not sleeping very good. Everyone comes back sick and tired and like grumpy and angry. But the photos later will tell a good story. So it was worth it. It's worth it for that purpose. But we came back from this little getaway. And at that point, we were all sort of like not too sick, we didn't think. But it was just this last Wednesday. And it was our first night that we were going to be back. And about 1 a.m., our little Hardy shows up into our bedroom, and Hardy sometimes gets bleeding noses, and that's not that uncommon for him. It's fairly regular in this winter time, and so he shows up into our room, and it's like, Mom, Dad, it's 1 a.m., just got back from vacation, and it's like, this is a gusher, you know, this is one of those ones, and so he's like, we're sorting him out, and we go and look in his room, we're like, okay, that happened for a while before he got to us, fair enough, and so we start stripping sheets, we're you know, putting Kleenex on his nose. He does a good job. He just sits there like in his jammies for like the next, for however long it takes. This one took a long time. We change out all the sheets. We do all the stuff, try to wipe up all the mess. Eventually, it's finally clotting and finally stopping, and I take him into his room, and I'm like, Lord, I just need a little bit of peace and quiet. I need a little bit of rest. Once this is done, I'm sure it's all going to be good. Once this is done, I'll know peace, and I'll know rest, and I'll know quiet, and it's going to be great. And so we go to lay him back into his bed, put him there, gentle, okay, and he's happy as can be, by the way. He always wakes up one, bleeding nose, just no problem for me over here. And so we put him back, and I lay beside him for a little while as he falls asleep in the middle of the night. Now it's about 2 a.m., spend about an hour doing that, and I'm like, I just need to get to bed. We just got back from vacation. We're wiped, you know. And so I gotta get back into bed. Okay, it's all good, quiet. I'm sneaking out. Finally, I can have peace now that my problem is solved. And as I get back into my bed, cozy, quiet, close up the sheets, I hear Nola cough twice. Sounds like a cough. And then she just starts squealing at the top of her lungs. I'm like, what is this? Like, I just got back into bed. I was up for an hour in the middle of the night after vacation. I'm dead tired. And so what I thought this was going to give me peace, she starts squealing. We go into her room, and she's thrown up all over her bed. I know. If you're a parent, you just know these nights, don't you? It's just like, is this really happening to me? This is just this week, right? So, boom, all the way. Oh, man, what is that? Ooh. So we go, and we start taking all the sheets, and Kendall's like trying to rock her and do her thing, and I take all the sheets down, and we wash them off and put them in the washing machine, and Hardy's sleeping still, thankfully, and we get it all. And many more times that night, we had a similar scene. But anyways, it seems like as a parent, you start to realize more and more that peace isn't necessarily just around the corner. It's not necessarily right there. You know, you think, oh, once this thing gets solved, we're good. No, it's not true. Once this thing gets solved, there's another thing to get solved, and another thing to get solved, and another thing to get solved. Peace isn't just around the corner waiting for you. It's not just something you're going to bump into somewhere over there. Peace doesn't just come to you once things get resolved. So you say, what is peace? What would the Prince of Peace, like in those situations, what should the Prince of Peace do for me? Lord, would you create some Holy Spirit gravel for my daughter and put some Holy Spirit plugs in my son's nose, and let's just get some sleep today. Put some Holy Spirit plugs in my ears so no matter how loud they cry, I'm not hearing a thing. So I can be ignorant of all of it. You know, Lord, just would you just do those things? You're the Prince of Peace. It's supposed to give me peace, right, in this situation. We all think that this next thing, if it will get resolved, I will know peace. So the Prince of Peace just needs to solve my problems. He needs to resolve my situations. This week, I realized as I was spending some time thinking about this, spending some time looking how Jesus spoke about peace, I realized that peace doesn't come because all the problems are resolved in your life, but because Jesus is involved in your life. It's tweetable. Peace doesn't just come because all the problems are resolved in your life, but because Jesus is involved in your life. See, Jesus didn't show up and say, here I am, let me solve your problem. Boom, 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 boom. Problem's done. Good, I'm out of here. Like a good old Western movie. Now I can move on to the next city. He comes and says, I want to be in your life. I want to be with you. I want to be alongside you. He doesn't show up and say, once I show up there, I'll take care of all your situations and you'll be good. He says, once I show up, you're good. I still have problems. You're good. I still got stuff to resolve. You're good. I'm with you. I am peace. It's not that Jesus creates peace. It's that he is peace. It's not that he can solve things so that peace might come. It's that when he shows up in your life, peace has come. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace when he shows up and you let him into your heart. Peace has come. Jesus talks about this a little bit to his disciples at one point in John 14, 26 to 27, and then we're going to go to 30 and 31. Jesus is talking to his disciples about what's to come, and he says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So Jesus is sort of chatting with his disciples. One of the things he's already talked about and about to talk about a little bit more is that he's now going to die. He's going to be taken from his disciples. This has been a good 3 years, disciples. We've spent some time on this planet together. We've done some special things on this planet together, but I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to die now. They're going to have to take me and that's what's going to happen. And so just so you know, but don't worry. Still the most important thing for me and you to have is relationship. I still want my presence to be with you. I still want you to know that I'm near. I still want you to know that I'm close by. So he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to live with you. And in verse 27, he says, peace I will leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I do not give to you as the world gives, Jesus says. I'm not going to give you peace as the world says you should have peace. I'm not going to give you peace as everyone else says you should have peace. Because how everyone else says you should have peace is when all of your problems are sorted. When you go to someone and say, oh, I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I'm dealing with all this stuff. People say, well, how can I help? What can I take off your plate? How can I solve that thing for you? How can I look after that thing for you? I'll take that part so that one problem can be solved. Because if we can solve all your problems, you will have peace. And Jesus says, I don't give it that way. That's not how my peace comes. That's not what you need to look for from me. How often are our prayers to Jesus, Lord, would you just, since you are the Prince of Peace, take away all my problems, resolve the stuff in my life so I can know peace. And Jesus is saying to us, peace isn't that resolving of your problems. It's involving me in them. It's just getting me close by, just getting me with you, just getting me beside you, and watch how you'll start to know my peace. Jesus carries on and tells him a little bit about that he's going to have to go die, and in verse 30, he says an interesting thing. He says, I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now let us leave. The prince of this world is coming. The enemy of Jesus is coming. And Jesus calls him the prince of this world. The prince of the place here. Well, wait a sec, Jesus, I thought you're the Prince of Peace. Yeah, I'm the Prince of Peace, but I'm not the Prince of this world. There's a different Prince of this world. Well, why aren't you the Prince of this world? Because I come with a new kingdom. I come with a new plan. I come with a new concept for you. And it's not about this world. This world is a little thing that you're walking in right now. I come with eternity. I come with fullness. I come with an expanse that goes far beyond space and time right now. I don't come to reign in this world. This world is nothing compared to where I reign. And I come to give you peace, not that this world can give, but peace that transcends this world. Peace that is beyond this world. Peace that is greater than your current situations in the world that you're living in. If you want my peace, it will transcend all of this. But the prince of the world starts whispering into your ears, no. He didn't solve your problem. Must not be God. He didn't take care of that thing. He must not be God. He didn't deal with that little issue in your life. He didn't solve your money problem. He didn't solve your relational problem. He didn't solve your health problem. He didn't keep that person alive for you. He didn't heal that sickness that you prayed for. He didn't do that thing. He must not be God. We say, yeah, why didn't you fix that thing, Jesus? I thought you were the Prince of Peace. And Jesus says, I am the Prince of Peace. I didn't say I was the Prince of this world who solves all the problems of this world. I said, I'm the Prince of Peace who comes and brings peace that is far superior, far greater, far more transcendent than this world will ever be. You want the peace of God? Then pray for the peace of God. Sometimes we think I'm going to pray for all my problems and then the peace of God will come to me. No, you pray for the peace of God and the peace of God will come to you. That's where it comes from. He's the Prince of Peace. And here he says the prince of the world is not him. The one who has power in this world is not him, because Jesus' power is over that. So here's another little no one to take home for you. If you want peace that a prince gives, you need to be in the kingdom where the prince lives. That's the one. That was awesome. We kind of needed that little moment, actually. It was getting pretty serious there for a second, so we kind of needed that moment. If you want peace that the prince gives, you need to be in the kingdom where the prince lives. Jesus comes and brings this new kingdom for us. And it blows everyone's mind, because everyone thinks if Jesus is going to come, he's going to deal with our problems with government. Israel had a lot of problems with oppression at this point. They were being overrun in lots of ways by the Romans. They were being oppressed in serious ways by their government, by the powers that be. And everyone would have thought, okay, if Jesus is going to show up, he's going to deal with those powers. He's going to set us free. We're going to be the reigning champions in the world. We're going to be the best. We're going to be the greatest. He's going to wipe out everyone who bugs us in this world. And Jesus says, no, I will win for eternity for you. If you come alongside me, eternity is yours. I will give you peace for eternity. But in this world, he actually says, in this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, there's a prince of this world who's going to speak lies to you, who's going to challenge you. There's sickness in this world. There's sin in this world. There's brokenness in this world. It is going to be hard times in this world, but Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome it. I've overcome that world. That world is temporary. You can walk in it for a while, but I have overcome it. If you want to know my peace, overcome the world and know my life, know my fullness, know the eternal gift of peace, not the temporary gift of peace. But if you want to know the peace that the prince gives, you need to be in the kingdom where the prince lives. Jesus doesn't come and dwell in this world alone. Jesus brings a whole new kingdom. If you want to know his peace, you need to be in his kingdom. You need to know that kingdom. You need to welcome it. And Jesus would say to all of you, as he did on that very first Christmas, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. I'm God with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to stand beside you. I don't just want to solve your problems. I want to be involved in your life. If you want to know my kingdom, you want to believe in the thing beyond this world. If you want to believe in me beyond just what you see right now, if you want to experience that and be part of that kingdom, you will know my peace. You'll get my peace in your life. Jesus comes and shocks people when he shows up. In Luke 7, 6 to 10, people are wondering if this guy might be the Messiah. Is he the one who's going to be able to set us free from the oppressors that are overtaking us? In Luke 7, it says, so Jesus went them. Oh, sorry. First, Jesus is going to go and he's walking along the road, and there's going to be this Roman centurion that shows up in Luke 7. The Roman centurion, he was Roman. The oppressors of Jesus and the people that Jesus was speaking to, he was not just a soldier, he's not just some guard, he's a centurion. He actually, later on we find out that he oversees other soldiers, that he's high ranking, that he's above others. He's a significant player in the oppressors of Jesus and of the people of Jesus. And this Roman centurion starts to recognize something in Jesus and comes up to him and says, "I need some help from you, Jesus." He's got a sick person in his house that he wants healing for, and he comes up to Jesus and asks him for that. And so Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him. "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd, followed him. The crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." What Jesus is saying there is, "I haven't found such great faith even in the people who say they believe in God. Here's someone who's a Roman soldier. There would have been a bunch of different gods likely in his life. He probably would have followed a bunch of different things, maybe not believed much, but he recognized something in Jesus. When Jesus shows up, he says, "There's something about this guy that I want. There's something he can offer that I want. There's something I believe in here. And I don't even need him to get to my house to see his power. If he just speaks it, it will happen." And Jesus says, "I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel." And then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So early on in Jesus' ministry, this Roman who oppressed the Jews at the time, this Roman shows up to Jesus, and Jesus gives this incredible miracle. He does this incredible thing where he just speaks, and this kid is healed far away. You can imagine people start saying, "Well, wait a second, shouldn't the Prince of Peace be wiping out our oppressor so we can know peace? Shouldn't the Prince of Peace be wiping out those who are hurting us, those who are controlling us, those who are enslaving us, those who are doing all of these things? Shouldn't the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, the one who was to come, shouldn't that person be doing something against these people? Shouldn't he be coming with a sword? Shouldn't he be fighting them? Shouldn't he be doing all of that if he's the Prince of Peace?" And Jesus is instead healing them, looking after them, caring for them. And then a little ways down in the very same chapter, we get a guy named John the Baptist asking some of the questions that probably everyone else was asking. John the Baptist was one who actually spoke about Jesus earlier on. He shared about Jesus. He told people that Jesus was coming, that the Messiah was coming. And when Jesus showed up, John pointed to him and said, "That's the Messiah. That's the one. That's the one who we're supposed to follow. That is the Lamb of God. We need to believe in this one." And then not long after Jesus starts his ministry, Paul gets put in prison. And in fact, soon he's going to get his head cut off. In that very, very time. And he goes to prison, and then he hears about Jesus healing Romans. And you can imagine he must start to wonder, is this the one that we are waiting for or not? And so he asks that very thing. It says Luke 7:20-28, "When the men from John came to Jesus, they said, 'John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind." I love this. That's one of my favorite parts in all of the Bible. "Excuse me, Jesus, are you the one?" He's just sort of sitting down there, and they say, "Are you the one that's supposed to come?" He goes, healed, restored sight, see, someone who can see, deaf, like raise the dead, boom, boom. He just does all these tricks. He goes, "What do you think? What? What's up?" You know, I just love it. "The dead are," and then so he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have just seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have been cleansed, Those are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. See, Jesus says, go tell John who's in prison, who's about to have his head cut off, who's actually my cousin, and who, like, Jesus is actually going to mourn the death of John. He doesn't want what's going to happen to him to happen. He actually really loves John. And yet Jesus is showing up and realizing that he's part of a different kingdom. He's not part of the kingdom where it matters what happens to John in this situation. Sure, he's going to be sad about it. He's going to be broken about it. But Jesus knows exactly when he's going to see John again. Jesus knows when he's going to be part of John, part with John for eternity. Jesus knows that he can have peace about John because we're talking worldly things here. Jesus is thinking about a kingdom that's beyond the worldly things. And so he says, listen, I'm healing people, deaf are hearing, blind are seeing, the dead are being raised, and the good news is being preach, go tell that to John, who's about to be killed in prison for speaking about me. So he goes back, and they go back to tell him, and Jesus starts talking about John. He says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed in the wind? If not, what did you go to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go and see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare a way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Among those born of women, if you didn't catch it, that means everyone. Jesus says, of everyone born, of everyone that's come to this planet, of everyone who's spent time on this world, in this earth, of everyone, there is no one greater than John on this world. There's no human greater than him. There's no person greater than him. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Jesus says, listen, John is incredible. He lived in poverty so that he could speak a message. He boldly proclaimed. He was courageous in what he did. He was wise. He cared for people. He looked after people. He spoke in amazing ways. John was an incredible guy. I love John. I think the world of John, of all the people that have ever been born of people, he was the best. He was the greatest of them all. But Jesus starts to turn the conversation and says, we got to talk about something that people aren't born of people. What about those who are born of the Spirit? What about those who are part of a different kingdom? What about those who know the Jesus that I am? What about those who believe in the peace that is beyond this planet? Because he says that even the greatest person in the world is less than the least in the kingdom of God. Jesus is setting up a whole new kingdom showing up here. And he says, we have the opportunity to be part of that and to know that kind of peace. I imagine that John probably at that time started to feel peace in the prison. Worship team, you can come and join me. I imagine that John had a lot of questions, was wondering what was going on, wondering what was happening, wondering what was taking place. Why is he caring for those who are oppressing us? And I imagine that Jesus, doing all the things that he just did, reminded John, oh yeah, right. We're doing something beyond what this world can do. We're doing something that goes beyond this place and this time, this space and this moment. We're doing something greater than that. We're part of something eternal here. We're part of a different kingdom here. And if you want the peace that a prince gives, you need to be in the kingdom where the prince lives. If you want peace from this world, then find it in this world. Ask people to solve your problems. Figure out how to get through the things. But the problem is that when one of your problems doesn't get resolved, you start saying, well, where's the peace? People are going to die. My grandma passed away a week and a half ago. I got to be there with her. It's an amazing moment, actually, for me. But if I'm looking for peace that the world gives, then she can never die on me. She can't. Because if she dies, like, wait a second, where's the peace? Where's it going to get solved? Where's this going to get fixed? She needs to come around. My problems need to be solved for there to be peace in this world. And Jesus shows up and says, no, no, your problems don't need to be solved because that's just this world. I want to give you a peace that's out of this world. I want to give you a peace beyond this world where you can look at sickness and you can look at death. And you can look at the ways people treat you and the hurts that they give to you. You can look at the way that that your stuff breaks down and deteriorates. You can look at these things and see that God is greater. God's got a plan beyond. God's got more for you than what this world can offer you. God showed up as the Prince of Peace. To come and give you life, to come and give you peace that the world can't give in a way that the world won't give it. I want to tell you one story as I wrap up. I had a friend one time as a youth pastor. I still have a friend, by the way. When I was a youth pastor, there was this one young guy who came to me and his mom was very, very sick. His mom had been back and forth. His family was losing money. She had to be getting treatments in the States. The travel and the expenses for medical was just crushing their whole family. They had to sell all of their stuff so that they could get treatments for his mom. And yet, after all of that, his mom was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And he came in to me, said, I need to know what to do. I need to know how to handle this. And, you know, I'm there as a person, you know. I'm not God. And so I'm looking at the situation and thinking, I have no idea what to offer you. I don't have a peace for this. I don't have a resolution for this. I can't resolve this problem. You gotta say, here's the problem. Here's how to fix it. The doctors can't fix it. Your money can't fix it. All that you're trying to invest in it can't fix it. How am I going to fix this problem? And so he comes into my office and I said, you know what? We need to pray. We just need to pray. And my prayer that day was all for healing, nothing else. I just wanted to pray for healing, wanted to believe for healing. And I had faith. I was believing. I was expecting something that God was going to do in that moment. I gave it my best prayer. You know, I was yelling and fist pumping and jumping up and down and I was fighting for it. I was fighting for her. I was fighting that God would come and heal her and make her well. And do, you know, I was going for it. I went for a long time just believing and believing and believing. We were crying. We were sweating and we were yelling and we were doing all of this stuff. And finally, I felt like I'd given everything that I could. And I kind of opened my eyes and I look at him and he's sitting on my couch and his hand is like this and he's just sitting there. He won't open his eyes. And I'm thinking, I guess he didn't believe, you know, I don't know what he's doing. Guess it didn't work or something. A few minutes pass, awkwardly waiting to see what he's thinking, what he's doing. And eventually opens his eyes. He's got a big smile. He jumps up. He said, Evan, God held my hand. And he wraps his arms around me. He hugs me. He starts crying. He's just weeping on my shoulder. And I'm like, what is he talking about? He was sitting here like this because he felt in the spiritual, in the kingdom that is beyond his world, in the kingdom that's beyond the world where his mom is sick and his family is broke and his house is sold and his family's breaking apart. In a kingdom beyond that world, God was saying, I have peace for you. I want to walk with you. I'll hold your hand through this. I'll take you through this. And you don't need to be sunk by this, even though your money says you will, and your health says you will, and your family says you will, and the world says you will, even though all of those things say this needs to sink you. I'm telling you that I've got peace for you that transcends all of that. So he held his hand. And he just believed. Did he believe in the healing for his mom? I don't know. But he believed that no matter what was going to happen, he was going to be all right. This is the peace that the Prince of Peace wants for you. This is the peace that the Prince of Peace comes to bring to you. This is the peace that Emmanuel, God with us, comes to plant into your heart, that whatever you're facing or will face, you can overcome, because even though the world may seem dark and challenging, even though the world may feel like it's overcoming you, even though the world says you're sick or you're going to have death or you're going to face this or you're in financial turmoil or all your relationships are breaking apart, even though the world says that to you, take heart, because he has overcome the world. And he has a peace for you, if you want it. If you want it, he has a peace for you. And so today, I just want, in this Christmas season, where the Prince of Peace has come into this planet and wants to offer you peace, I want to know if you want it. I want to know if that's something that you would like in your life. Do you want to identify with the kingdom of the Prince of Peace or the kingdom of the prince of this world? The kingdom where the Prince of Peace comes and shows you that on an eternal scale, you're okay, or the kingdom where the prince of this world comes and says everything is broken and falling apart and you will not make it through. Which kingdom do you want to be a part of? Because today the Prince of Peace draws close, says, I don't just want your problems resolved. I want to be involved with you and walking with you and in your life. So that peace doesn't have to wait until your problems are solved, but peace shows up right now into your life. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Today, if that's you, you say, I want that this Christmas season, I want to identify with the Prince of Peace. I want to be part of the kingdom that welcomes his understanding that is eternal rather than my understanding, which is temporal. I want to know the fullness of peace in my life. I want to experience peace not once everything is fixed, but I want to experience peace today. And if that's you and you say, that's what I want, I need that today, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? If you want the Prince of Peace to come into your life today, God bless you. I'll pray for you. If there's anyone else, yeah, God bless you. And to you, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone else who says, I just need to know that Prince of Peace? Yeah, God bless you and you and you and you and you back there. Thank you. And for you. Is there anyone else who says, that's me. I need the Prince of Peace in my life. I don't just need my problems solved. God bless you. I don't just need my problems solved. I need to know the Prince of Peace. God bless you. Is there anyone else who says, I need that peace? God bless. God bless. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Thank you that you came to speak truth where there were lies. Lord, you know the lies in this room that are spoken into hearts. That say when your body breaks down, I guess it's all over. That say when there's death around you, that I guess there's no hope around you. The lies that say where your finances are at, I guess you're no good because your finances are not in a good place. The lies that say your family will never be restored. The lies that say that if your kids rebel against you, that you're no good, that there's nothing left for you. The lies that say when someone says something bad about you, when someone bullies you or mocks you or gossips about you, that you have no value. Those lies are broken today because the one who overcomes the world drew near to us on Christmas, drew near and said, I don't want to be some far off God. I don't want to be somewhere away that you can't see me. I want to be Emmanuel, God with us. I want to come as your wonderful counselor, as the mighty God, as the everlasting Father, and as the Prince of Peace. And today, Lord, I pray for your peace. You promised it to us, Jesus. You promised that as we draw near to you, that we would know your peace today, that your Holy Spirit enter the hearts that raise their hands today. Let your Holy Spirit just move in on them, Lord. That today they would know peace. Peace not once everything's solved, but peace today in Jesus' name. Peace now in Jesus' name. Peace now in their hearts. Peace now for their situations. Lord, not that their situations offer them peace, but they have a peace to offer to their situations, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have done it. Thank you, Lord, that you came. Thank you, Lord, that you are mighty. Thank you, Lord, that you have hope for us. Thank you that this Christmas season we get to remember it. And today, Lord, let your peace reign as you have overcome the world. And in Jesus' name, and everyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. People are choosing peace today. People are choosing peace, and I want that in my life. I want to know what that looks like. That's worth celebrating. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand up and sing this with the worship team one time together?